Old Testament stuff. How about that? Genesis chapter 13. Where we will be here in a little bit. Genesis chapter 13. I have been in some conversations, seems like several lately, with people who have come by the office or called on the phone, and just a lot of people that seem to be seeking God's will for them, their life, not knowing what to do. You know, what's the real? Have you ever been trying to find, talk to God and get His will, and like something really seems like a great opportunity, and you find yourself wondering, now is that really what God wants me to do, or is that the devil just making it kind of look good right now and trying to lure me in to that situation? And a lot of people seem to be struggling with that and dealing with that, and so I've been putting some thought into it, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. And the title that I want to give it is "The Greener the Grass, the Greater the Deception." You hear people say all the time, "The grass isn't always greener on the other side," right? And so tonight this is a twist on that: the greener the grass, the greater the deception. Have you ever tried sleeping in a hotel room where the air conditioning isn't working, and it's just about 100 degrees outside, 95, 100 degrees, and the air quits? Well, that happened to me. I was at a convention in Naples, Florida. I was down working for the Schlechte Center doing a convention for some administrators to talk about some things to do in school to reform public schools. And I had the opportunity to share down there. With, you know, great, all right, get to go to Naples, Florida. Well, this is in July, and you know how far down Naples is, and in July it's already hot enough. And man, I was all excited because we were staying at the Naples Golf and Beach Resort. You know, this is going to be a fun time. And sure enough, we got there and their air conditioning went out, and it was just flat out miserable with how hot it was. But I tell you what, stuck with me during that, because the next day when you walked down to the main area there were people. You can only imagine how people were complaining and whining and yelling at those poor workers there at the desk who had nothing to do. It wasn't like they turned the air off, you know, and most of them, you know, kind of look like teenagers or in their early 20s anyway, and they're just getting beat up from these people over the air conditioning. And, you know, really the hotel ended up comping rooms and doing a lot of things. But, you know, what I took away from that as I listened to so many people complain and do all that was this. You know, even when I'm in a stinking hot hotel room where the air's not working, you know, it doesn't really matter because God is with me. He was with me through all of that. It wasn't that big a deal. People used to live through that all the time before the air. And you know, probably many of you remember times that you didn't have air to start with. And that's just how you functioned. But what I took away from that is there is no place I can go that I have to be alone, because God is with me. But sometimes what looks good and sounds good might not be in God's plan for our lives. And that's why when it comes to making some major decisions in your life, you just can't look on the outside of things. You just can't look at how great everything looks, you know, just from the outside looking in. You've got to consult God, and you've got to recognize His hand on your life. And He can steer you away from situations that the devil might make look good to you, but really aren't in His plan for you or aren't in His will for your life. Now, that's not always easy, because sometimes that opportunity pops up and it looks perfect in every way. It looks like, yeah, this is the job I'm supposed to do. This is the place I'm supposed to go. This is where I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to be doing. And then there are times where that looks so good, and it's like, I think that's what's supposed to happen, but you ever been there? Something just doesn't seem right. Something just doesn't fit. Something's not fitting in to the plan. And I think the reason is the greener the grass, the greater the deception. I've had a lot of people, especially people that Sandy and I went to school with or whatever, that have times have, you know, get together for a reunion or you see them around and they'll say, man, you've done really well for yourself. And, you know, you've made it, man. You're just really doing well. And I'm like, you know what? God has really blessed us. But it has nothing to do with anything I've done. It's been Him every step of the way and what He's wanted for our lives. And I've decided in my life, Sandy and I have decided that we're just going to go with what He tells us to do. We're just going to do what He says. If He tells us to go, we'll go. If He tells us, you know, we need to do something, we'll do it. And, you know, I want to tell them, you know, I like green grass just as much as the next person. But to be honest, there have been times in my life that God's told me no. With things that I thought I wanted to do and things I was pretty sure that was supposed to happen. And God's told me no. And sometimes I was a stubborn listener. And sometimes I accepted it right away. A couple of things that took place, just real quickly so you get an understanding. This is just to frame what I'm really trying to talk about. But Sandy and I, we started dating when we were freshmen in high school. And then, you know, dated through high school and 4 years of college. And there was one little time period where we broke up at the end of our sophomore year in college. And when we broke up, she ended up going to Georgetown College. And I got a baseball scholarship to go to West Virginia University. And my final two choices, she was going for music, and Georgetown had a great music program in Georgetown, Kentucky. Well, my final two choices were I was going to accept a scholarship at Eastern Kentucky University, which was Richmond, Kentucky, not very far from Georgetown, or West Virginia University, which was 7 hours away. And, you know, we were broke up at the time, and I'm like, well, I'm not going that close to Georgetown. I'm going to go to West Virginia University. And sure enough, after one semester, we get back together, and God was saying, no, I think you need to go back to Georgetown. And you know what? That decision, obviously, was one of the best ones that I ever made. You know, now, I would have never been a great Major League Baseball player, but I did have some possibilities of getting drafted and probably playing in the minor leagues and that type of thing. And I knew at that point, because I'd been at a junior college for 2 years, then went to West Virginia, and now I'm transferring again, you know, 1 year later to dropping from Division I West Virginia down to this NAIA school, Georgetown College, you know, the red flag, red flag, red flag to the scouts. So I knew that was probably going to put the dagger in that, but I also knew what I wanted and what God had in store for my life. And, you know, obviously that was a great decision, not only with Sandy, but just look at our 5 kids and 9 grandkids and, you know, everything that has come from all of that decision and just the opportunities we've had in ministry to be able to do things and so forth, that I look back and think, if I had just tried to make that selfish decision on my own, you know, where would I even be? You know, think of all the things I would have missed out on if I hadn't listened to God. Another one is a really interesting one. You know, the years that I was coaching basketball at Jennings County High School, we had some great years. We had some great teams. And the 1 year back-to-back weeks, you know, in our that conference is a very tough conference. You have New Albany, you have Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, Bedford, Columbus East. You know, it's a lot of really great schools. And Jeffersonville, New Albany, and Floyd are always, you know, like right now, they're ranked 2nd, 4th, and 8th, and they're all in the same sectional this week. You know, that's the kind of competition. And back-to-back weeks on Friday nights, we first played Jeffersonville, and they were ranked 3rd in the state, and we were able to beat them. The next week, New Albany moved up to 3rd in the state, and we were able to beat them. And then, you know, we moved up into that top two. We were ranked 2nd and 3rd there toward the end of the season and ended up going all the way and playing at Assembly Hall. Just great times. That I just set that stage because after that and after that success, which was nothing on my own, we had great players, but after that success, I had the opportunity and had actually verbally accepted the basketball coaching job at New Albany. 21 years ago now, 21 seasons ago, and Sandy had gone and I had gone down. They wined and dined us and showed us around, and we'd actually already picked out the house that we were going to try to purchase down there, and we were moving in that direction, not everybody in our family, that Sandy was, she was like, okay, we'll go, but not really. I mean, we're Jennings County people. Why would you go down there or whatever? But, you know, in the basketball world, New Albany, like, that's the king of the South, you know. You're always going to have players at New Albany. And so we had everything in line. We were going. Ariah was the funny one. Ariah was just a little girl, and New Albany always has this chant where they yell, D-O-G-S, dogs, dogs, dogs. You know, and you got 2,000 people doing that chant all the time. And as we were getting ready to make that decision one night, Ariah came to me and she said, Dad, I guess I'll go, but I'm not going to say that, D-O-G-S, dogs, dogs, dogs. You know, that's how big of a deal it was, you know, for this move in our family. And so we're ready to go. And I'm supposed to call the superintendent at 8 o'clock the next morning to make the arrangements to come down and sign the contract. And I woke Sandy up at 1 o'clock in the morning and said, we're not going. She's like, what do you mean we're not going? Why aren't we going? I'm like, I don't know. It's just not right. God says we're not supposed to go. We're not going. And, you know, when you look back over the last 20 years, look back at this year. I'm coaching at South Decatur, who has 4 wins, and Jim Shannon, who got the job when I turned it down, is still at New Albany and one of the career-leading most wins in Indiana history, and has Romeo Langford, who's the highest recruited player in the nation right now, and the difference. But you know what? It was the right thing. Because also when I look back over 20 years, what's happened in 20 years, through different things. I've been able to be the principal at Jennings County High School. I've been able to be an assistant superintendent at Jennings County. I've been able to come here and be superintendent and associate minister here. I've been able to preach at a small church. God was ordained as a minister. Had all these. That's all in the last 20 years. All those different kinds of things that have happened that would never have happened if I would gone to coach at New Albany. God, I had basketball in my life, but what's that really mean, you know? And I wasn't smart enough to know that. That was God. That was God telling me, you're not supposed to go down there. And I got to tell you, I had prayed and prayed on that situation. And, you know, there were times where it's like, come on, God, tell me something, you know. You ever been there? Give me a sign. We're not supposed to do that, but give me a sign. Show me a way. Show me what I'm supposed to do. And today I know that sometimes when God doesn't want me to do something, he gives me the silent treatment. It's like, no, we're just going to work this out, and you're going to come to, you know, a conclusion on your own. But at that point in time, I was saying, okay, God, what's the problem here? Do we have a problem? Because you're not leading me where I think I'm supposed to be going. And God said, no. That's not where you're supposed to pitch your tent, which we'll get to here in Genesis in just a second. And I said, why? And basically, he, you know, in his way, and I'm not one that, you know, God spoke to me type thing, but in his way, he told me, that's not for you. That's not where I'm calling you to be. That's not where I have plans for you and what you're supposed to be doing in your life. And basically, he was just saying, you trust me. Just trust me on this one. Well, I gave in and I called them and they were really kind. But I got to tell you, I was mad for a while. I was mad at God for a little bit because I was especially mad the next season when New Albany beat us at Jennings County by 26 points. And I had to suffer through that. And I'm thinking, I could have been on the other end of this, you know. And so it was something that I had to work through. You know, when they're beating me by 26 points, I'm remembering their offer to come down there and be the coach. Why? Green grass. I saw green grass down there. But the greener the grass, just maybe the bigger the deception. So they were wonderful, a wonderful team, nothing wrong with them, but they just weren't in God's plan for my life. You know, what would have happened if I'd taken that position? I would have been living outside of God's will. Now, would I have had blessings while I was down there? Yeah, I think some things would have gone well, but not the way he wanted it, not what he really wanted to have happen in our lives. I would have been blessed, but I would have been forfeiting God's best for our lives and our situation. Because when you disobey God's instruction, you step out of his will and you say, I want what I want more than what you want for me. And in a nutshell, you're telling God, I know what's best. Let me handle this one, God. I think I know what to do. And we don't know what's best. Green grass is deceptive and can be deceptive. Well, the Lord dealt with my attitude concerning all that, and we got through that situation, but it taught me a valuable lesson about trusting God and recognizing the fact that the greener the grass, possibly the greater the deception. And since then, I've kind of decided that no matter how good something looks, if God's not telling me, go all in, that's exactly, without a doubt, what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm just going to figure it's not for me. Anytime, anywhere, any place. Now, if God calls me to do it, then my answer is yes. I never had a desire to go to India to preach, but for some reason, I think God's calling me representing you guys from this church to go over there and preach that revival at India. And I don't know what's going to happen from it, but I do think that I'm going to learn more about those people. I'm going to learn more about their culture, and it's going to be a way for us to get across the road here and reach more people and have a better outreach. So I would covet your prayers in that situation. But what we need to do is stick with God through brown grass. When it's not green and it's brown, stick with him, because I'm telling you, he's got the ability to irrigate it and make it green right there where you are. Psalm 37 verses 3 and 4 tells us that blessings are bound to happen to those who trust God. Think about that a second. Blessings are bound to happen to those who trust God. And that's a good thing. Now, in our story, and what I want to get to this evening is, you know, the story of Lot, Abram and Lot. And Lot had a problem with green grass, by the way. He had an issue with green grass, and it turned his life into really kind of a living hell at that point in time for him. See, God told Abram to leave his extended family, to pack up and move, pack up and go to a place where, I tell you, you don't need to know right now. You just head out, and I'll let you know where it's going to be. And Abram had the faith to do that. He did it. However, he took his nephew Lot with him, and that wasn't in God's instructions. It was a little bit of a bending of what God's will was and what God's command was of what he wanted Abram to do, but Abram took Lot with him. Now, here's the way I see it. His hand of blessing was on Abram in this situation and not Lot. Why? Because I don't believe Lot belonged there. I don't believe that was where God wanted Lot to be and where God wanted to bless him and have him living in his will. It's where he wanted Abram to be at that point in time. And God blessed Abram, and Abram flourished. Abram flourished, the Bible says, with cattle and with money and with his family, silver and gold. But he took Lot with him. And the problem was, there wasn't enough room in the area. There wasn't enough land for the two of them to be able to be happy in the situation. There wasn't enough room for them all to live peacefully. So let's pick it up in Genesis chapter 13, verse 7. Genesis 13, verse 7, it says, "And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time." You can take it to the bank that when strife crops up in relationships, the devil's close by. The devil's working in those situations. Strife is one of the ways I think that he tries to ruin relationships. Let's just build strife. Let's just build tension between them. That'll tear the relationship up. But you see, Abram didn't want any problems. He wanted to avoid the problem. So he decided to make Lot an offer that Lot couldn't refuse. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." So Abram's offering Lot half of the land, and he's even allowing him to pick which half he wants. You choose where you want to go, and I'll just break it off, and I'll go the other direction, the other way. Now, one of the things that comes to my mind during this is, through this situation, why wasn't Abram worried? You know, here's Abram is called by God to be the one to go there. Abram's given up half of it. Abram's not worried which half it is. Why is Abram not worried in this situation? And I think it's simply this. He knew all along it didn't matter where he went. God was with him. God was just waiting to give him the blessings. They had to get through this situation because Lot wasn't supposed to be there to start with. But I think Abram was confident that God was on his side. And so he didn't have to worry about whether Lot chose the left or the right, which area of land that he wanted. Now, let me point out what Lot does at this point. Let's look at verse 10. Lot looked around and saw the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice the first thing Lot did when he's given this proposition. He started looking around. He started relying on his own senses. The first thing he did, first thing he should have done was start praying about, oh, okay, wonder which place I ought to take. But he started looking around on his own. He immediately used his senses and didn't pray about it. Because he was looking for what he thought was green grass. I mean, look what it says. Saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. He saw green grass. Well, let's look at verses 11 through 13. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Why did Lot choose to pitch his tent near Sodom? Green grass. The world. Worldly things. Sin. Things that look good on the surface, look like a good time. He wanted to go towards Sodom, where life was happening. Green grass. But he didn't consider that the green grass was backed up to a sinful place. And he was about to start a life living right next to temptation that the devil was going to use for him. And then the next thing you know, we find Lot living right in the middle of Sodom. Because he was looking for green grass. He followed his senses. And I want you to remember this evening. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Always will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll charge you more than you want to pay. Sodom was attractive to Lot because it was a place where he could let his senses go and think, yeah, this will be fun. This is attractive. This grass looks good. And there are a lot of things out there in our lives that'll look good to us, but you could take it to the bank that if the grass is too green, really rich and green, There's probably some manure piles underneath it there, helping to spread it to be that way. It's like the person who, a little while back now, but anyway, conversation here that told me, I'm going to leave this church, and I'm going to go to that church. And I just wanted to say, you know, the grass might look greener, but when you get up close, there are going to be manure piles there too. And you can't run from that. It might look greener to you, but you just haven't gotten up close yet. You see, temptations will always look beautiful on the surface. Whatever that temptation is, it looks beautiful on the surface. But what the devil shows you, he is showing you as a liar and one who's trying to steal your life away from you. And that's why it looks so beautiful on the surface. When Lot pitched his tent, when this separation started, when Lot pitched his tent, he had cattle, he had gold, he had silver, he had all the same things that Abram had, because Abram had helped to supply it for him. He had all those things, but he lost everything simply because he was looking for the green grass and he thought the grass was greener on the other side. And it wasn't where he should have been. And what I don't know about you, but what I know about me is I'm going to decide and continue to decide to not follow my own senses, but to allow God to tell me what he wants for my life. And allow God to tell me what is best for my life. And if he calls me to a desert, then so be it. I've got faith to pray that he can turn that brown grass in the desert green whenever he wants to. But sometimes I think we limit God. Sometimes I think we really limit God. Sometimes I think we even pray to him for his will to be done, but we really don't want his will to be done. We want his will to be what we want our will to be. And our prayer is more that, I'm going to pray to you and ask your will be to be done, but I really hope it's what I want and it's my way. And I just hope you agree with me. I think sometimes that's what we fall into. And we fail to remember that we limit God, but he's the creator. He's the one that rained 1,500 tons of bread on the ground when the Israelites said they were hungry and there wasn't any food around. Yeah, I'll just drop a little bit of bread down. Enough to satisfy you. I'll give you enough water, thousands of gallons of water to quench your thirst. And we fail to remember that he can do anything. So it doesn't make a difference what our current situation is or what it's like. He can supply and take care of us. He makes brown grass green if you'll stick with him. And you know, life's full of choices. We make choices every day in our life. Sometimes they're smaller choices and decisions that we have to make. Sometimes they're life or death type choices. The Bible even talks about choose life, right? When you're talking about worldly things and so forth, it says choose life. We can make the choice to either walk with God or we can make the choice to pitch our tent next to Sodom. We have that choice. But as you're making that choice, never forget that there are demons out there that are fertilizing that grass that's always in front of you, making it look greener all the time, luring you in each step of the way. And I don't know what it might be in your life. Maybe it's a business venture. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a new location. Maybe it's a new church. But I just beg you to pray before you choose and really listen to God's voice of what he knows is best for your life and what he wants you to do. Don't jump at the chance to run to the devil's green grass, because it might be deceptive. But instead, pray and listen to God's voice. And when you do that, I'll tell you this, you'll start being able to spot the devil a mile away. You'll know when it's not right. You'll learn to say no to those impulses that only looks good and feels good on the surface. because God will make you strong in your decision making. He'll lead you in the right way. He'll make you strong even in the areas that you think are weak. If we'll only trust him and remember, the greener the grass, the greater the deception. Let's pray.